Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick. And with me today, I have Noran Ayed, Portfolio Manager of the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Midcap Growth Strategy.
Hello, Ben. I'm happy to be here.
Noran, the start of 2026 has not been for the faint of heart. We are continuing to see increased volatility on a daily basis, influenced by geopolitical risks, as well as AI and its potential long-term influence, whilst also seeing risk gauges like high yield spreads remaining at historically lower levels. Can you give your view of market performance in the first quarter and its impact on the strategy's relative performance?
Sure. So this quarter was indeed not for the faint of heart. In our benchmark, the Russell Midcap Growth Index declined 6.35%, while value indices posted gains, with the Russell Midcap Value Index up nearly 3.7%. That's a 10 percentage point spread between mid-growth and mid-value in a single quarter. Two forces largely drove this early in the quarter. The so-called SaaSpocalypse led to software stocks losing approximately $2 trillion in market cap between January and February alone due to concerns of competitive displacements from AI. That selling was largely indiscriminate, with high-quality franchises punished alongside speculative businesses. After that came February 28th, when the U.S. and Israel launched a series of strikes on Iran. Oil prices surged, and it was their largest monthly gain in four decades. And this reignited inflation fears and reduced, the near-term probability of interest rate cuts. And against this backdrop, the quarter was a challenging environment for us as investors in high-quality companies. As you know, we seek businesses with pricing power, durable competitive advantages, and the ability to compound through cycles. And we don't factor rotations or commodity rallies, and we shy away from capital intensity. So our exposure to energy and materials is typically limited. In a quarter like this, where the market sold growth indiscriminately and rewarded energy, defense, and deep value, our approach was out of step with short-term sentiment. While this is disappointing, it doesn't change our conviction in the businesses we own and their underlying earnings growth. The high-quality businesses in our portfolio have only gotten cheaper, and we continue to believe that high-quality companies outperform over the long term.
Noran, can you discuss a few of the strategy's holdings that were standout detractors and contributors to performance for the first quarter?
Fair Isaac Corporation, ticker FICO, was our biggest detractor this quarter. Other detractors were Goosehead Insurance, ticker GSHD, Reddit, ticker RDDT, Toast, ticker TOST, and Insulet, ticker PODD. We want to take a closer look at Goosehead. Goosehead Insurance is a personal lines insurance agency. The company does not underwrite policies, but serves as agents to place customer policies with insurance carrier partners. Softening policy prices are expected to reduce written premium growth in the near term, while higher technology spend will pressure profitability. There's also market fears around disintermediation risk from AI. However, we believe that Goosehead's fundamental competitive advantage remains intact and will enable long-term market share gains and healthy profitability. We also think that the value proposition of a human broker will remain preferable for a significant part of the personal insurance buying population. So with these considerations in mind, we find the shares attractively priced. Comfort Systems, ticker FIX, was our highest stock contributor for the quarter. Comfort Systems is a leading national provider of mechanical, electrical, and plumbing services, and they specialize in HVAC, building automation, and engineering for commercial, industrial, and institutional buildings. The business has exceeded expectations for data center construction growth, even though recently announced increases in hyperscaler CapEx are not yet included in the company's backlog. The company's scaled workforce is allowing it to meet this increased demand, especially in Texas, where the company has a large presence. Other top contributors this quarter were Monolithic Power Systems, ticker MPWR, Cloudflare, ticker NET, the New York Times Company, ticker NYT, and Medline, ticker MDLN.
Noran, can you talk about the impact of the invasion of Iran and the spike in oil prices on the strategy, both directly and indirectly?
In terms of the direct impact, we are already seeing it with the lack of exposure to the energy sector hurting the strategy's performance in the first quarter. Additionally, consumer spending is facing a risk of a pullback as consumers seek to offset higher gasoline prices. So in the near term, we would expect the portfolio to decline alongside the broader market and potentially lag due to our limited exposure to the energy sector. Over the long term, our businesses have historically demonstrated resilience during challenging economic times due to their solid balance sheets, lower capital intensity, and durable competitive moats.
Noran, can you discuss any holdings within the strategy where AI obsolescence fear has had an impact on performance and why you continue to hold them?
AI, both as an opportunity and a threat, is top of mind as we evaluate existing and potential portfolio holdings. A number of our companies saw their share prices decline on AI disruption fears, but we do not believe that AI risks disrupting these businesses. You know, we discussed Goosehead Insurance, ticker GSHD, one of our lowest contributors for the quarter earlier. And as we mentioned, we believe the company's position is defensible because insurance is complexity-driven. Personal lines like home and auto involve dozens of carrier options with wildly varying rates, and clients genuinely benefit from having someone navigate that complexity, especially after a claim or life event. Another example is Equifax, ticker EFX, which is one of the three largest credit bureaus. The majority of the company's revenues are tied to data that is not publicly accessible given its regulated and contributory nature. The long-term AI risk assumes that lenders can leverage AI tools to deploy sophisticated lending models and reduce reliance on the credit bureaus. We believe this risk is minimal due to regulatory constraints and the scale of Equifax's proprietary income and employment verification dataset.
Noran, would you say your strategy has greater exposure to companies implementing AI versus pure play hardware exposure? And if so, why?
We have many examples of businesses that have strong AI tailwinds, but not necessarily pure plays. Many of these businesses that we liked and had invested in before the acceleration in data center build out are well positioned to benefit and have done so. One example is Cloudflare, a network security and content delivery company. One of their products, Workers AI, enables developers to run AI inference closer to the end user rather than in a centralized data center, which reduces latency. While this has done well, the vast majority of revenue still comes from core security and networking products. Another example is Amphenol, which makes connectors, cables, interconnect systems, basically the physical plumbing that connects every component inside a data center. While Amphenol has benefited tremendously from the data center build-out, this company also sells into aerospace, automotive, industrial, and military end markets, and we owned it for many years prior to their current involvement in AI infrastructure.
Noran, do you think quality companies who are incorporating AI into their business will be able to increase profitability greater than commodity companies in the future?
Definitely. We are seeing productivity gains across two significant cost lines for business, research and development, as well as SG&A. Businesses which can layer on AI-powered revenue streams and benefit from cost efficiencies driven by AI are well-positioned to improve profitability and potentially strengthen their competitive positioning.
Noran, can you speak about the potential impact of weakness in the private equity and credit markets on the strategy, if any?
There is growing concern that private credit has overextended loans to software companies, many of which are vulnerable to AI disruption. One of our holdings, Houlihan Lokey, potentially benefits from this issue. We believe the company's balance of advisory and restructuring businesses allows it to benefit from better private equity sponsor demand in advisory and potential challenges in private credit from overly exuberant lending.
Niran, what types of changes were made in the portfolio?
Our strategy hasn't changed. We continue to adhere to our high-quality investment philosophy and are constantly working on enhancing the portfolio's quality, growth, and value characteristics through both new purchases and existing holdings. We executed a number of trades during the quarter to initiate positions in businesses that we are excited about, such as the New York Times Company, and to take advantage of broader market dynamics that we discussed earlier.
Niran, lastly, can you describe where you see the benefits of holding this strategy versus a passive strategy over the medium term?
There's a lot of uncertainty around the implications of AI, geopolitical uncertainty, and a potential higher-for-longer interest rate environment. As a result, we believe in-depth fundamental research process is required to discern true risk and opportunity from indiscriminate market moves that are driven by broad and sometimes speculative themes. We believe that our high-quality investment philosophy, in-depth fundamental research process, and focused high-conviction portfolios and active portfolio management are particularly relevant in this environment.
Niran, thank you for taking the time to provide your insights to our Canecast listeners.
Thanks so much, Ben.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.